We are now joined by the winning crew chief of the number 9 Sun Energy One Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports, Alan Gustafson. We'll go ahead and open it up for questions. Right over here. Mm-hmm. We'll go to Bob and Jim after that.
John Haveron, ESPN Albuquerque. As a crew chief, you haven't won since Jeff Gordon's victory in 2015. So obviously Chase has like a giant relief now that he finally got his first win. Do you feel relieved also? Does the team feel relieved that they finally were able to get a win as well?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd choose the word relieved. You know, you feel satisfied of the work and the effort you put in and getting back to victory lanes, a huge deal. Something we want to do much more frequently, obviously, than we have been recently. But I think I just feel satisfied. You know, it's not been the easiest year for us, and we've just kept battling through it and battling through it, and getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer, and finally got it done.
Go over here to Bob.
Bob Hockress, ESPN. What do you think Chase has learned the most through all the disappointments that he's had? I mean, this almost looked like it could have been a repeated Dover.
Yeah, you just never give up, you know. And I think you just, at the end of the day, you do everything you can do with inside your capabilities. And, you know, we all strive for greatness, and everybody wants to do the best things possible. And, you know, you want to win the race or, you know, hit the three-pointer at the buzzer or catch a touchdown or whatever it is. And when it doesn't go your way and you have those opportunities, sometimes that can be deflating. But at the end of the day, you got to take some solace in what you do and the fact that you give your best and you learn from it and move on. And certainly he has and will continue to do that. And, you know, if you learn and you move forward, you don't lose. So you just got to keep going.
Jim Mutter, Motorsports.com. Obviously, today Chase's first victory, but also ended a 37 race winless streak for Team Hendrick. Is this a culmination of a lot of hard work that has been going on the last several months, or because it's a road course, is it hard to put it in the same category?
No, I think it's a culmination. You know, we've been stuck on 249 for a while, and certainly very aware of that. And I know personally I wanted to get that win for Mr. Hendrick, and it was really close to getting the 200 there at Martinsville with Jeff, and unfortunately had a late caution, and that one kind of stung. So, you know, we're going through these opportunities to win and not getting that 250, so that was always at the back of my mind. But I'm glad to get that for him. It's a huge honor to be the crew chief on the car that wins that 250th for HMS, and it's absolutely a culmination of a lot of hard work. And we haven't been, you know, I told the guys before race today, I said, you know, if you go back 5 months, we were struggling to run 15th and then we were struggling to run 10th and 12th and just battling through it. And in the last month or so, we've been able to contend for wins and win stages. And that's the culmination of their hard work. And I don't think it's a fluke. It's not like we just came off running 25th. You know, we had a shot to win last week too. So, really proud of the guys and the effort to get us back to this point. And I know we're not where we want to be. We got to get better, but we certainly were the best today.
All right, we'll go right over here.
Davey Siegel with frontstretch.com. Happy birthday. How's this for a present?
Thanks. Yeah, it's up there. It's about as good as it gets. It's pretty cool.
Bob right here.
What's that? Yeah, I was trying to talk him into it. I think he's bailing on me.
Bob Hockress, ESPN. Amid the 250th win, Chase's first win, is there any relief that you're in the playoffs? You guys were so on the bubble, but it almost seems that's almost a backstory to today, or a very kind of off-to-the-side story.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, it's good to get a win and get in, for sure. It wasn't my primary focus. You know, I thought we had got ourselves in a pretty good points position. You know, we had to be pretty aggressive today on strategy and different things to win the race. So I thought we had got ourselves in a pretty good points position where we could be a little bit more aggressive and not have to count every point. And, you know, you never know till you're in, right? I mean, so it's good to get in. I think for me, probably a little bigger than that is just, you know, trying to stack up some playoff points. And that's a huge deal going through this run. And we were really close to making it to Homestead last year. And I think if we would have had a few more playoff points, you know, it might have made it a little easier.
Dave Sully, Ariota Racing News. Take us through the last couple laps. Did you, when Martin was making those charges, are you talking to him? Or how much chatter was there? And whose blood pressure was higher, yours or his?
Yeah, I think, well, he says his, but, you know, there's not much I can do at that point in time. I think the toughest thing for me was I knew we were really, really close on fuel. And I wanted to, you know, I had debrief with him before the race about saving fuel at any opportunity, but Martin kind of screwed our plan up, so we didn't get to save much gas, and he put a lot of pressure on us. And you know, that was really what was going through my mind is, you know, did we have enough to hold him off? Because by that point in time, I kind of felt like, you know, we could, but was he ultimately going to run us out of gas? And that was tough. So it was pins and needles, and obviously he was really, really close too because he ran out. I was more concerned about the fuel. You know, that's really more my deal. And I knew he could do it. He just had to not make any mistakes.
And we are now joined by our race winner, Chase Elliott, driver of the Sun Energy One Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports, along with Bill Elliott, NASCAR Hall of Famer and proud father of today's winner. Chris?
Yeah, ChrisKnightCatchments.com. Alan, I was just curious if you could talk about the performance of the Chevrolet, your Chevrolet in particular, the last couple of weeks. You guys seem to be finding more speed, and there are consecutive stage win in three races and whatnot, and that seems to be coming at the right time for you guys.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I'm super proud of the performance of our Camaro and everybody at HMS's work and Chevrolet's work to get the car to continuously improve the car, and we have some ground to make up and some room to go. But you know, this is a really fast track. I mean, when you think of a road course, you typically think of a little slower speed, but this is a really fast track, so I think you have to have everything here. You've got to have a car that drives really well. You've got to have a car that is aerodynamically very sound and have to have a good engine. And to beat those guys at the track. And ultimately, I feel like, like I said earlier, we were the best car today, the best team today. So very satisfying and super proud of everybody at Hendrick Motorsports and everybody at Chevy for it. So it's a great win.
Are there any other questions for Alan? Lee?
Was there a specific time where you might have seen Chase turn a corner to kind of, you know, start gaining confidence and get to the point where you knew he would, you know, get beyond just all the second place finishes and challenging for wins?
I mean, to be honest with you, I thought, you know, Daytona, the very first race we worked together at Daytona, we kind of sucked. But past that, I felt like he could win right away. I felt like he could win every race. I never doubted or thought that he needed to go through any maturation process or any experience to win a race. I thought he could win a race right away. And you look back and certainly we had lots of opportunities to do it. And, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, and sure we should have. But there was never any question to me. And there wasn't a pinnacle moment that he turned or learned something or went through something. You know, I thought he was pretty equipped to win from the start. I do think not making it, I mean, he can comment on it. It certainly adds a little, you know, seems to raise the hurdle a little bit, like it makes it slightly tougher, but it was never what I felt like was insurmountable or something that, you know, we couldn't overcome. I just knew we just had to fight through it, and it was going to go our way, and there's, you know, countless races it didn't. But, you know, in my experience, you know, those odds, you know, the statistics end up evening out, and there's going to probably be some races that we may get that we shouldn't get, right? So you just got to stay after it.
Any other final questions for Alan? All right, thank you. We'll go ahead and open up the floor for Chase and Bill. Any questions? We'll start with Bob.
Bob Pockrass, ESPN. Bill, what did it mean to you to actually play a role in this win since you were a spotter? And can you explain to us how did you get from where you were spotting to victory lane? Did you run? Did you get a golf cart? Did you... And how quickly did you get there?
A lot of help from my friends. I got there actually before the car did. And my role was very little. My goal was to, you know, if anything happened in the bus stop, or if I could get them information, if somebody was having problems in the bus stop, you know, just
tell Alan or Eddie on the radio and go from there. But, you know, Chase had been good in the bus stop throughout the whole time here. And when I was over there during practice and qualifying and stuff, I felt like that was his strong suit through there. And, you know, they, I know the first couple of runs they went out, they had some issues with the front and finally got all that sorted out in the second practice. I felt like in the, in his, I think they made a 10 lap run. I felt like in that he was pretty good, but, you know, I tried not to get any emotion at all there the last, you know, 20 laps or so. Just try to, you know, watch cars and see what people were doing. You know, there was a couple of cars having a few issues, but, you know, it. I knew a couple of places traffic was going to play a part, but, you know, they finally, I know the double zero when there was another car behind a bus stop kind of got him bottled up there one time, and Martin made a lot of ground on us, but it all worked out. I mean, I couldn't see turn one, the issue there on the last lap, so... But regardless, it, you know, with the way it worked out, I didn't know who was going to run who out of gas. And, you know, luckily we run Truex out of gas. And, you know, even if he'd have done something there and won, we'd have probably beat him back, you know, hopefully anyway. But the way we beat him today, that was even better. But Kyle would have been very good too. Kyle, he made up a lot more ground than I ever thought he could there at, when he started back with, you know, 32 laps to go. So it was... It was kind of a weird day, but, you know, a lot of luck was on our side. You know, I had about three-quarters of a lap of gas left for Chase. I told him to burn it down. He wasn't able. It ran out of gas. So, you know, it was kind of one of those days. But I'm proud of him, proud of the team. They've done a good job. They've worked really hard the last, you know, 2.5 years to put this together. And, you know, Mr. Hendricks done a lot for this organization and done a lot for racing. And, you know, proud to see him finally get back from almost a year ago, I guess, when Casey won at Indy. I really didn't have time to think about it. You know, when the race was over, when I knew we got to checkered flag, I went down and I rode back with some guys, and we had to go around and come out between 1 and 2 across the track and come up. And, you know, I was actually there, like I said, before the car got there, so I was pretty lucky to get there.
We'll go right here.
Matt Meckley with the Finger Lakes Times. This is for both of you. First of all, congrats on the win. And Bill and Chase, you both had a lot of memories here over the years, 20-plus, so... Can you describe a little bit of those memories just throughout those years and what this means to you?
Well, I mean, to me, it's kind of weird. I mean, you know, we kind of, you talk about numbers. I think this was his 99th start, I think, right, correct? You know, the 9-car wins a 99th start. You know, I won my first cup race at a road course in Riverside. I won the only Xfinity race I ever won was right here on a road course, you know, and then lo and behold, he wins his first road course. I mean, it's kind of... You know, you don't think about these things until kind of after the race, but it's kind of weird. I mean, it's like when I was at Darlington back in the 80s and in 85, and we go into the race, and, you know, to win the Winston Million, and so much pressure was on us, and so many things were going on that particular day. And, I mean, there was nowhere near we were going to win the race. I mean, we were about a fifth or sixth place car the way things were running. And, you know, one thing happens, the next thing happens, and you know, I was racing. Then I ended up racing Cale at the end of the day, and, you know, he breaks a power steering line going into turn three, and here I am leading the race with, you know, a handful of laps to go. And, you know, it's just sometimes certain things line up and you can't ask why or what or how, why things work that particular way. But you know, this is probably one of the toughest road courses that I've seen. A lot of things have to go your way. You know, it's a very fast, demanding place, and, you know, and the team, like I said, the team did an awesome job.
We'll go right here and then to Jerry and then to Jim.
John Haverlin, ESPN Albuquerque. Chase, I have two questions. The first is, do you feel a tremendous amount of relief finally getting the first one after coming so close?
Oh, for sure. Definitely. You know, a lot of relief, a lot of emotion in general, but, you know, definitely relief, I would say, would be one way to describe it. It's been, you know, I've left these races pretty down, you know, over the past couple years at times and had some great opportunities, and I think that... you know, you just have to realize, and we run second 8 times or whatever it was. And I think kind of one thing I tried to beat in my head was that you don't run second 8 times by luck and take it for what it is. But that's just the truth. You just don't. So you have to realize that you were in those positions for a reason, A, and B, if you're in them at one point in time, you can get back to them and learn from whatever it was that prevented you from ultimately getting a win and try to correct it to do so. And learned a lot about myself the past couple of years. I've learned a lot racing in general, felt like, I felt like the end of last year I was probably at the top of my game that I've ever been racing as a race car driver in general, and felt coming into this year with a lot of confidence and knowing that I felt like we could compete with these guys, and haven't had the year that we were hoping for, but the past few weeks have been encouraging, and felt like we've been running more like we did last fall, which is really nice, and no reason why we can't do that more often.
And while you were celebrating on the front stretch, the crowd was going pretty crazy. They were all pretty ecstatic. So I don't expect you to like kind of toot your own horn here, but do you feel like your win is something that NASCAR has kind of needed, that's something that the fans have kind of needed?
Well, I don't know, but it was really cool and something I'll never forget. You know, I ran out of gas. I was going to do a burnout in front of him, and I ran out of gas right when I got there. And so I coasted on around, and then, you know, probably one of the many cool things about today was Jimmy Johnson pushed me back to the front straightaway, which is, you know, he's been a hero of mine for a long time, and he's been a big supporter of mine, a guy I've leaned on a lot through some of those hard days I was mentioning, and he was the first guy, you know, at my car to talk to me after Dover last fall, and then to have him push me to victory lane today was pretty cool. So that's something I'll never forget, and to see the fans' reaction of people fired up, you know, whether it's for me or whoever, that's pretty cool to see, and certainly glad that we were on the front end today.
Jerry
Jordan, Kicking the Tires, .net, and Performance Racing Networker. You read your stats off a while ago, but you know, the 8 runner-ups and 27 top fives, etc. But on that last lap, what was going through your mind? I mean, this has been a big weekend for you with your dad, announcing he was going to race, in a few weeks. So, what was going through your mind as you were making that last lap, trying to hold off Martin?
Yeah, well, you know, we started that last run, and Martin was saving gas pretty heavily. So I started to save gas as well, trying to back up to him. I didn't want to get too far out to where I'd burn up what I had. And then he started to inch back to me as I was still saving. So then I tried to pick it back up. And then as I picked it back up, he was still gaining on me. I think he found a couple things that was helping him. And it was just funny that, you know, like if I hit a good lap and he hit a good lap, we would come out pretty even. He might gain on me a little bit here or there, but we were just better in completely different parts of the racetrack. And he might be better than me in one section and then me be better than him in another. So my big thing was just trying to make the most of the sections I felt like I was better than him, and not mess up. And we were coming to that white flag, and I felt like I had a pretty nice gap. Just don't mess up, and I messed up, of course, and had to knock it out of gear, and I completely missed turn one. And luckily had a big enough, gap that he couldn't get up next to me. But, just nice to, Dad mentioned he was close on gas too. So just nice to win it straight up, and it not be a fuel mileage race. And, you can win these things a lot of different ways. But to actually go out there, run in the top two or three all day long and race the guy that's won the past two road races straight up for a victory at the end is very satisfying. Well, I knew it was going to be close. Yeah, there it is. I'm watching it on TV. And luckily, he got really sideways there, but, yeah, I blew it there. So, glad that the gap was there to him. And, don't do that.
We'll go over here to Jim and then to Lee.
Jim Utter, motorsport.com. Obviously, your first win is important, but you have a lot of season left. You broke a winless streak for Hendrick Motorsports, 250th Cup win for the company. What the way that the organization has come on as of late, what do you see as the possibilities of going forward? What's possible for you and your team?
Well, I think anything's possible, in general. I mean, I feel like the past few weeks, have we had the actual pace of the 4 and the 18? No, probably not. But have we been a hell of a lot better than what we were at the beginning of the year? Yes. And have we been a legitimate top five car? I would say so. So that's a big improvement from what we've been. And you don't just go from running 12th to 15th to winning these races overnight consistently. So it takes time, and you have to make those steps and those strides to get better. And I think we're hopefully going in the right direction. I think we have a good idea of what we need and what we need to do to move forward. I said this at the beginning of the year, but having the struggles that we had running in the back half of the top 10 and beyond, you know, some days, it put a lot of emphasis on pit stops and race strategy and some of those things. And I felt like that our pit crew and our race strategy and, you know, all that stuff becomes even more important when you're back in the pack, because that can be worth spots that you're not fast enough to gain back. So I think that that has made us better, because our pit crew's gotten better because of that. And now that we've been running better the past couple weeks, you know, they're better for it, and they're at the level that these other guys are, if not better. And I think that everything kind of happens for a reason.
Go to Lee, and then to Bob, and then in the back.
Lee Spencer, RacingBoys.com. Did anything surprise you, or did anyone surprise you that came to Victory Lane to congratulate you? Was there anything that stuck out to you there?
Yeah, I mean, just in general, you know, I was out of gas, so a lot of guys had to drive by me. But, you know, there was a lot of people that were, you know, whether they were actually happy for me or not, they acted like they were, and that meant a lot to me. So I thought that was really cool, you know, and to have, you know, have really all the guys that came, you know, I think is neat. To have the respect of your peers is probably one of the coolest things about what you do, if you can earn that respect, because no one understands what you do on the racetrack, not whoever watching, more than your peers. And when they know what you do and they understand you as a racer and respect that, that's a pretty cool thing. So to have all those guys come up there and that did say something was something that I'll never forget.
And Kyle Busch?
Yeah, and Kyle as well. You know, Kyle, I've been on the bad end of Kyle winning, you know, a couple or last year, you know, at Dover, and he won Martinsville too, you know, so yeah, that was pretty neat, you know, and racing against him today. I felt like we paced him, you know, the majority of the day, and that stuff's just satisfying, you know, as a racer, when you're able to go and race with the guys who are dominating this deal right now and actually be a legit contender and not back into one. That's pretty cool.
And now we go to Martinsville, where you finished second three times. Sorry, Michigan, sorry.
You're close.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long-ass day. You have an incredible average finish of 4.6 there. I mean, I doubt anyone's better than that. What do you bring in, you know, the way the team is right now? And then I have a question for your dad.
I mean, yeah, averages are what they are, but they're also over however many races you've run. I've only run, what, five there? So
yeah, but 3 second place finish.
Yeah, it had 3 seconds. It's been a good place, no doubt. I won't deny that, but it also helps when you haven't run many too to help that average. But yeah, you know, Pocono was a really good race for us in the spring. Pocono this past time was a good race for us. I was really encouraged when we left Pocono in the spring race that we were going to be able to go to Michigan and be really solid again, and we went there and really struggled. So I think that'll be a kind of a testament to really see where we stack up and where our gains have got us, because that racetrack is, you know, you really, you know, the driver certainly is a big deal everywhere, but you got to have your stuff driving good to be good at Michigan. And I think we've gotten better, so I hope that we're improved and we'll see where we stack up. I don't know until we get there.
And Bill, did you lose a bet with Mike Beam?
I must have. I really must have. I think it was Mike Beam and Keith Barnwell and maybe Chase all threw me under the bus. That's why I was over at the bus stop. So we'll see.
Bob?
Bob Hockers, ESPN. I have two for Chase.
Was there
any part of you that didn't want your dad to spot for you?
No. We've actually, over the course of short track racing, late mile racing, you know, he always spotted for me and that stuff too. So, you know, it was never really that's not a new thing, you know, to have. So, no, I thought it was fine.
And you did a good job?
Yeah, I did fine. Okay. We didn't crash, so that was good.
And Jimmy said that during the winter you guys had some drinks and talked about some of the disappointments of the season before. What did you take from those conversations, and do you think you put anything that you learned from those conversations with Jimmy into play today?
Absolutely. Think about him every weekend. You know, and Jimmy's been a like I said before, he's been a hero of mine, and he's been a big supporter of mine too, which is pretty neat. And you know, he and I were out in Colorado at the same time last year, and I had an opportunity to sit down with him and just talk about some of those disappointing days. And when you have a chance to talk to somebody like him about those days, you know, that's certainly a character building moment. They were over a lot of drinks, but we were, they were still very, you know, meaningful and helpful to me. And you know, when you have not only a fellow racer, but a teammate and a guy who's done what he's done, take the time to, you know, lend me advice or just listen to what I had to say, that helps a lot. So I just appreciate his friendship and, you know, looking forward to racing with him for hopefully years to come.
Any insight on the advice?
Nope.
Steve Evans, The Morning Times, Chase in the back. Today, they announced the fourth straight sellout here at Watkins Glen, and I know you commented that on your TV interview about the atmosphere of this place. That's got to add to this first win for you as well.
For sure. Yeah, like I said, I ran out of gas, so I was coasting around. I had a great view to see all the people. It looked like a sellout, you know, when I was coasting around, people still fired up, and I'm sure some of them weren't happy, but there were a lot of people that were still pretty damn excited and still in their seats. Well, they were still in their sections. They were all standing up. So that's just a cool thing to see. You know, there's nothing that can recreate that feeling and looking in the stands and seeing people that excited for you for something that you did. You know, and the fans have been a big part of my career thus far, you know, voting us in a couple all-star races and so on. So, a lot of great supporters. You know, I appreciate the ones who don't support too, because that drives you to be better and the whole bit. So appreciate all of them, good and bad.
Dave Buchanan from WGR Sports Radio in Buffalo. Chase, to your left. Yep. You have a lot of great partners, Napa, Mountain Dew, Hooters, but it's another little funny coincidence about this win that of all the people you work with in the sport, that it's Sun Energy on the roof of your car for this first win. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Just, I mean, just funny how it all works out. You know, Kenny Habul and Sun Energy One, you know, they've been a great supporter of mine, you know, over the past couple years. And Kenny typically likes to have road races. He's a big road racer himself. And a little backstory on the paint scheme. So he ran a race at Bathurst this January or February, and I saw a photo of his car, and it was painted up like ours was today. I was like, hey, man, any chance we can swap our paint scheme to what yours was there? I thought it looked really cool. So lo and behold, he made that happen, and we had a paint scheme swap for this weekend. So just kind of funny, all the things that go into it you don't really think about till after the fact. But definitely have some great partners, and you know, that I mean, it wouldn't happen without them, so you appreciate all of them.
We'll go over here to Chris and then Jim.
ChrisMankEdgeFence.com. Chase, congratulations. What was that moment like when you got on the phone and talked to Rick Hendrick? What did he say? Or can you tell us what he said? And can you talk about how much instrumental he's been in your career? And where's your mom? Is your mom here?
Yeah, my mom's not here, unfortunately. I wish she was. But actually, I couldn't hear him on the front stretch when he originally called. So I have no idea what he said. He probably couldn't hear me either, so he didn't know what I said. So we basically just sat on the phone for a minute. But I did get a chance to talk to him when we got out of victory lane, and you know, he just said that he's proud of me. And you know, more than anything, you know, I failed to mention this on TV. I should have, but you know, his efforts and his belief in me dates back further than a lot of people's. And I'm sure he caught a lot of slack for, you know, helping me through the times that he did. And he. You know, has put a lot of faith and confidence in me over the years since I was, I think, 15, you know, years old, to try to help me progress and move forward and get me to the point that I'm at today. So, you know, I don't know that I would have made it to the Cup Series when I did without him. No, I probably wouldn't have. So, you know, without him, none of this would be even a factor.
Jim?
Jim Under Motorsport.com for Bill. Kind of following up on Bob's question to Chase about getting through the difficult come close times and his relationship with Jimmy. There were times during that when people thought maybe Chase was too hard on himself after some of those races where he came close. I just wondered, what was your advice during this time until getting this victory, and how did you feel he kind of handled the whole situation?
Well, I think I still think last fall was kind of a defining point in his career. I mean, the way he ran the last 10 races last year and the things that kind of went on. And I just, you know, you kind of look at the end of last year, and, you know, we were so close to getting a win and getting, you know, that last few legs of the chase. And, you know, he's done everything right, and there was nothing really I felt like he did wrong. I mean, there's going to be days that circumstances plays a part, win, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, and that's just the part of the way the race and gods go, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. But you know, then really you look at this year and the way this year started, and, you know, the way HMAS and the program has gone from their side. They were really good on the speedways, but everywhere else has been a little bit of a struggle, you know, until they kind of got that under them. And usually the road courses don't, you know, it just kind of goes if you're halfway decent and you kind of get things together. I'm talking about the, you know, this could be off a little or that could be off a little bit, and you can make it up, you know. And I think Chase did an excellent job of that today, and, you know, we've been able to race with the guys that, like I said, Kyle Busch would have been the car to beat, I think, if he'd have been around there at the end. And then Truex, there's no slouch either. I mean, he ran a really good race last year and won here, and he run really good race at Sonoma. So, you know, to turn around and beat that guy, even, you know, with him, I mean, I felt like we'd have beat him easy, even him running before he ran out of gas to the line. But anyway, it's a great part of it, and I think that, you know, it'll give him confidence to continue on and where he needs to be. And, you know, make, you know, like I said, I think sometimes you get in a sport, and this is kind of my philosophy, you get in a sport and you win too soon, then in your mind it becomes too easy. And I think it took me a long time to win my first race in a lot of years because I didn't run a lot of races first off. So I think I started racing in 76, and it wasn't until 83 that I won my first cup race. So, you know, it took me a long time in years-wise. So, you know, you learn a lot through that. You learn a lot about yourself. You know, I kind of picked my way through it. You know, I finished second to Richard at Rockingham and beat myself up. I didn't win the race there. You know, I finished second to Bonnet at Charlotte, and I still can remember that day that I didn't win the race. But you know, this is a whole different level today. I mean, when you've got guys like, you know, Kyle and Harvick and Truex and all those guys that run like they run, you know, to be able just to even finish second to them, you know, that's a heck of a day, in my opinion. I'm going to kind of ease out of here, so I'll leave it to him. So thank you, guys. It's all him.
Chase, I have a question about what your celebration is going to be like. But first, is your motorhome by chance like a dark gray and dark red?
I don't know where you're at. Where are you at? Yeah.
Okay, so it's covered in toilet paper right now.
Oh, nice. Nice. Hey, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'll take that any day of the week.
The picture came up on Twitter. I don't know who did it, but like...
I haven't got my phone yet.
That's kind of like a prelude to what the celebration is going to be like tonight.
Oh, it's going to be a hell of a night, I'll go ahead and tell you. Don't ask me what tomorrow's going to be like, but it's going to be a good one.
Are there any final questions for Chase? Right here. Thank you.
Matt Mackley with the Finger Lakes Times. So Steve Tasker was in here earlier today, and he was the pit car. He was the pace car driver today. So how did you think he fared doing it, being a football player?
Yeah, he didn't crash nothing, so he did fine, I guess.
All right. Any last questions? All right. Thanks, Chase. Congratulations. Yep, thanks.